This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Is not an easy one. It won't be a long one. It will be quite short, and we're starting a little bit late in any event. But you need to listen carefully. And in the process of it, I'm going to explain to you a very difficult piece of Rambam. Firstly, the Rambam in Hilchos Deos develops his idea right at the beginning of the ideal characteristics of behavior to be what people have come to call his golden mean, equidistant from both extremes. Any extreme behavior, the Rambam counts out. Any behavior which is the middle path is the way it should be. That's the Derech HaChachomim, the way of wise people. And the Rambam shows it, he develops this idea actually not in Hilchos Deos, he develops the idea in the Shmoneh Prokim, in the fourth parak of the Shmoneh Prokim. But he paskens it lahalocha, he brings the halachic implications of that theory in Hilchos Deos. This constantly seeking a path which is equidistant from both extremes. And what emerges from the theory is that there's nothing good or bad about any characteristic. It depends where you're holding in terms of the extremes. If you're holding somewhere at the one extreme or the other, then it's bad, whichever extreme it is. And if you're in the middle, if you're equidistant from both extremes, it's good. So he goes through the various middos in the Shmoneh Prokim. He lists many of them. In the Hilchos Deos, he lists only a few of them. And he says you can have somebody, is it good to be miserly or is it good to be a spendthrift? The answer is it's bad to be either of them. It's good to be somewhere in the middle of being miserly and spendthrift. Is it good to be highly emotional or is it good to be cold and unemotional? It's bad to be either of them. One should be somewhere in the middle. And so he goes through the whole system. One of the examples he gives in the first perek in Halacha Dalet, Ketzad, for example, Lo yehei bal chema noach lichos. A person should not be somebody who easily gets angry. A person you should not be hot-tempered is the right translation. You should not be hot-tempered, easy to anger. And on the other hand, you mustn't be like a block of wood, that you can't get angry no matter what, that no matter how you're provoked, you never get angry. That's also not good. You should be in the middle. You should be somebody who can be provoked, and who can get angry, and who occasionally does get angry, but not somebody who gets angry easily. And the Rambam defines what it is to get angry along the middle path. How do you get angry down the middle? Something that every mother would like to know. How do you manage to just be the right kind of angry, not too angry and not too little angry? Lo yichos elo al dovar godol sheroi lichos olov kadei shelo ye afe keyetze boi pam acheres. The Rambam defines what middle of the line kaas is, what middle of the line anger is. Very important yesod in the Rambam. You should not get angry excepting for something which is a major issue, a dovar godol, sheroi lichos olov, which is deserving of your anger, kedei shelo ye'ase keyetze ba'am acheres, so as to prevent a repetition of the same thing happening again. Three rules, three conditions the Rambam lays down for getting angry. Number one, it must be a dovar godol, it must be a major issue. Number two, it must be worthy of getting angry. And number three, the purpose in the anger is to avoid it happening a second time. Those are the three conditions of getting angry. If that's the only time you get angry, then you're considered going down the middle path of anger. Then in the second perek, he says the following. The yesh deis, there are certain characteristics, there are certain midos, she'osu loy le'odom linoig bohem beveinonis, that you are prohibited from following the middle path. There are a few midos which the middle path is not good. You can't follow the middle path. You've got to remove yourself from the one extreme right to the other extreme. He says there are a few exceptions to the rule. Normally the middle path is the desired path. There are a few exceptions where you've got to remove yourself as far from the middle path as you can. One of them is arrogance. And he develops the arrogance. None of it is allowed. V'chein, and the second one, likewise, hakas, anger. Midorohi adlima oid. It's a terrible characteristic. It's a terrible trait. Chaos, anger. People who get angry. Veroi leodom sheyisrachek mimeno ad akotzei ha'achah. And a person should remove himself from anger right to the other extreme. There should be nothing of anger in you. All the other midas except these two, one requires bits of it. There are times when you need to be cruel, there are times when you need to be kind, there are times when you need to be spendthrift, there are times when you need to be miserly, there are times when you need to be whatever it is. Every midah, merciful, there are times when you must be unmerciful. But arrogance and chaos and anger are two midas, those are two characteristics which should never be practiced at all, says the Rambam. V'yelamed atzvoy shelo yichos. And you must train yourself not to get angry. It's a training, it's not something one has naturally. If you naturally don't get angry, then you're a worm. That's not a human being. A human being is somebody who does get angry naturally, but has taught himself not to. He's trained himself, he's worked on himself, he's changed himself. That's what Torah is all about. V'afilu al dovo shiroi lichos alov. And even something which is worthy of your anger, you don't get angry at. V'imrotza lahatil eima al bonov uvnei beisek. If you want to throw your weight around at home a little bit, or ala tzibur, or over the community, imho your parnas, if you were a leader of a community, v'rotzo lichos aleim kadei shiyachzulu lemuter, and you want to get angry so they'll know what they've done is wrong. If whatever they do, you don't get angry, they'll never realize that something is wrong. So if you want to get angry in order to teach people, yeroe atzmoi bifneim shehu koyes, pretend that you're angry, kadei liyasrum, so as to tell them off. But inside yourself you're calm and collected. So you throw a tantrum and you get angry and you shout and scream, and then you go into your room and you close the door and you have a good laugh. So nobody must know that you've done it. That's, they think that you're terribly angry, and so they should, and that's it. But you're inside, you're not angry at all. The Omru Shekol HaKoyes, and they say further, sorry, like a person is acting anger but isn't really angry. Omru Chachomim HaRishonim, the early Chachomim said, Kol HaKoyes Ki'il Oved Avedus Kechovim. If you get angry, it's like serving idolatry. It's a terrible issue, it's a terrible thing, anger. The Rambam is classifying it together with idolatry. Vomru Shekol HaKoyes, and they say about people who get angry, Im Chochom Hu, if he's a wise person, Chochmosoi Mistalekes Mimene, he loses his wisdom. And if he's a prophet, his prophecy deteriorates. And people, hot-tempered people, their lives are not lives. It's not worth living that kind of life altogether. Therefore, they commanded that one must withdraw oneself from anger to the point that you act in a way where you don't feel even things which should anger one. V'zuhi haderech hatoiva, and this is the good way. So Rambam, bit of a contradiction, as you'll note. Rambam said in the first chapter that you must follow the middle line, and you must get angry only about major issues which are worthy of getting angry in order that they shouldn't happen again. He didn't say you must act angry. In the first chapter he says that's when you are angry, and that's called the middle line of anger. In the second chapter he says no middle line with anger. Never. Never ever. At best you can feign anger, you can pretend to be angry, but you can never be angry. It's a stir in the Rambam, it's a very difficult Rambam. And that's not even the Rambam that I'm going to explain this Rambam to you too, but when I was referring to a difficult Rambam that I'm going to explain to you, it wasn't even this one, it's a much more difficult one. But the first thing is to understand this Rambam. What is the stir between the Rambam? The answer to the stir in the Rambam. There are a few clues in the wording as to the meaning of the Rambam. The first clue is that the Rambam omits one word in the second chapter, which he includes in the first chapter, and that's Dovah Godo. In the second chapter he's talking about something which is worthy of your anger but not a major issue. And he doesn't say it's a major issue. He says, and even if it's something which is Roi Lichoy Salav, it's something which you should get angry at, still you mustn't. But a Dovah Godo, that he doesn't say. If it's a major issue, he doesn't include that. Dovah Godel, that he puts in the first chapter. If it's a major issue and it's worthy of your anger, and it's in order so that it shouldn't happen again, then he says in the first chapter you can get angry. The second clue is in the words V'yelamed atzmo shelo yichus. You should train yourself not to get angry. There are two kinds of anger. Most people only know the one kind, and the kind they know is the dangerous kind. the two kinds of anger, one, they're both dangerous in a sense, and their symptoms are the same. The difference is one anger is a reaction and one anger is an action. There are two ways of getting angry. You can decide, over this I'm going to get angry. You can do such a thing. Most people think that sounds very peculiar. Right? I shall now, in 5 minutes' time, I'm going to get angry. Most people think that sounds weird. And it does sound weird to us, because we in the West only know the second kind of anger, the reactive anger. But the active anger, which is an anger which I choose deliberately and consciously to turn on for a particular reason, that's something which in the West we don't normally use. We don't know about such a midah. But in Torah there is such a midah too. You can make yourself angry over something which you feel you need to be angry about. That's different to the Rambam's feigning anger. Feigning anger is something else. Feigning anger is, I'm not angry. I'm just pretending to be angry so that you should get a fright. That's feigning anger. The anger I'm talking about is, I am angry. I'm very angry. In truth. But I made myself angry. I decided to become angry. Not that I'm reacting to something you did to me. Once one understands those two angers, one begins to understand the two views of the two halachas of the Rambam. Over a major issue, you never become reactively angry. It's a funny thing, but it just never is. You never react in anger to something that's really serious, in real terms. Not serious to you. You get angry to things that hurt. But about things that are really important, things that are major issues, that you don't react to in anger. You don't get angry because Russia invaded Afghanistan. Russia invading Afghanistan is more important than your neighbor letting the air out of your tires. So it's a bigger issue. But your neighbor lets your air out of your tires, you get angry, and Russia invades Afghanistan and you don't get angry. Why not? Over Dvorim Gedolim we don't get angry, over big things we don't get angry. We get angry over little things, little pinpricks, things that irritate us. The anger we know is the anger which comes from irritation. Not the anger which is a cheshbundike anger, an anger which has been worked out, which has been developed, which is a conscious midah, a conscious characteristic which you've decided to bring into play. We don't know that kind of anger. When the Rambam's talking in the first chapter, he's talking about a dovar godo. He's talking about the halacha of being angry, and he says, there you follow a middle path. There are circumstances under which you may and should be angry. That's if it's a major issue. It's not a small issue. It's major in terms of ultimate reality. In terms of the olam, of the world. In terms of things that are really important to God, not to you. And it's royal lichos olav, it's deserving of your anger. And it's for constructive purpose, because you don't want a repetition of that. Then you get angry. Then you're entitled to get angry, and you should get angry. If, however, you're talking about a dovah shiroi yilichoy salah, but not a dovah gozal, it's something which you're entitled to get angry about, but it's not a major issue. That's the Rambam in the second chapter. The thing that you're entitled to get angry about is when your neighbor lets down the air in your tires. Or even if it's not your neighbor, it makes a difference who it is. Somebody throws a stone at your car. Anything like that. Somebody throws a piece of mud at you. Those are all things you're entitled to get angry about, but it's not a dovah gadol, it's not very big, it's not terribly serious. Somebody swears at you. These aren't terribly serious things. But you're entitled to get angry. Says the Rambam, no, you don't. If kaas were like any other midah, if kaas was like any other characteristic, then yes, under such circumstances you could use it. But kaas is one of the midahs which you must move away from completely and not get angry. The yalamed atzmoy shelo yichos, and you must train yourself not to get angry. What anger is he talking about here? You must train yourself not to get angry. That's talking about the anger which you feel reactively. Says the Rambam, teach yourself not to get reactively angry. Don't do it. Now you never get angry. Once you're following the second chapter, that is that you never react with anger, now you can start utilizing the first chapter. Now in calmness and peace you can decide under certain circumstances to become angry as a conscious active decision. That can be done. That's using the first parak. The first one has to overcome the difficulties expressed in the second parak of training oneself not to react in anger. And that's how I learned the two chapters of the Rambam with the middle of kaas to resolve the conflict. We're talking about two different kinds of kaas. Now I'll show you the difficult Rambam. In the Sedra today, Moshe is given, and Aaron are given extremely severe punishments. You cannot imagine what it was for Moshe to come to Eretz Yisrael. That would have been the ultimate of his life's work and ambition and everything. You know what it is for a man to devote his whole life to something and not be able to see it fulfilled. And when we see from Midrashim later on in the Torah of Moshe pleading with God, he'll leave the throne, he won't be a king, he'll leave Klal Yisrael, he'll wander around the desert like an animal, anything but just let him go into Eretz Yisrael, he just wants to see it. And God says no. What did he do wrong? So everybody knows how to answer the question. When he struck the rock instead of speaking to the rock, it doesn't say in the Chumash anywhere what he did wrong. Strange thing. The one Avera which Moshe Rabbeinu is recorded as having done, of any kind of severity, the thing of for which he's punished so terribly severely, unbelievably severely, and there's no tshuva, he prays afterwards, v'ischanan, and all sorts of things, he pleads to God, nothing. God won't let him in. And the Avera which caused this terribly harsh punishment is not recorded in the Torah, we're not told what it is. And this causes tremendous discussion and debate among the Mefroshim. What is it precisely that Moshe did that was so terrible? Okay, God said hit the rock, speak to the rock, and he hit the rock. Good, okay. And it's not a miracle to hit the rock. That's not good enough. What's the difference? And earlier on in the Torah we had a similar thing where God told him to hit the rock. And if God didn't want him to hit the rock, what did he tell him to take his stick along with him for? The Ramban in fact holds that he was told to hit the rock, that he had to hit the rock as well. That wasn't his Avera. And the Mefoshim go through a lot of tumult to try and figure out what it was that Moshe did wrong. And one of the Mefoshim that do so is the Rambam. And he does that at the end of the fourth perek of the Shmoneh Prokim. We'll learn this piece of Rambam. I'm sorry that you don't have text in front of you. A couple of you have managed to find a few texts of God. It's an important Rambam. It's a difficult Rambam. And it's good to follow inside. I think that this year, I don't mind if you have the tape copied and you look at texts and you work on the tape after you've gone through the text inside again, because it's very important to see it inside. Those of you who are able to follow a piece of Rambam inside, you'll either find it in the Shmoneh Prokim at the end of the fourth Perek, or you'll find it in the Chumash brought by the Ramban on the Sedra. The Atayo Deyash, says the Rambam. First I'll just read and translate the whole piece, and then I'll show you the difficulties. The Atayo Deyash, says the Rambam, and you know, She'odoin harishoinim va'achroinim Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaSholot, that the master of the early ones and the later ones, Moshe Rabbeinu, in other words, the greatest man we've ever had, Kfar Omar Elov Hashem Yizborach, God has already said to him, Ya'an loy he'emantem bil hakdisheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael. Two things God accuses him of. That you didn't trust in me to sanctify my name in the eyes of the B'nai Yisrael. You didn't perform a Kiddush Hashem. And later on in the parsha, Al Hashem merisem espi b'mei meriva. You're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael because you disobeyed my mouth at the waters of Meriva. That's the story of the rock that we just had in the Sedra. Al Hashem lo kiddashtem osi. You didn't sanctify me. The chet oyalov hasholom, says the Rambam, and what was his sin? What did he do wrong? Hu shenota letzad echod mikitzvos mimalos hamidos. What he did wrong is that he overstepped the golden line by 1 millimeter. That's what he did wrong. There was a midah, there was a characteristic which he practiced in slight excess of the golden mean, and that was what he did wrong. What is the midah? V'hu ha-savlonus, the midah of patience. Ka'asher noto l'tzad ha-ragzonus, he tended a little bit to anger. Ba'omroi, when he said, Shim'u no ha-moirin, listen here you rebellious ones, when he turned to the B'nai Yisrael and they were gathered there by the rock, he said, listen here you rebellious ones, do you think we can get water for you out of this rock? Says the Rambam, at that point he just got a little tiny bit angry. You know, we have to understand that this Avera of Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever it was, is so slight and so small in our terms that we wouldn't even notice that there was anything wrong. It's almost beyond our perception how fine the Avera is. It's not shaykh, it's not possible that a man of the greatness of Moshe Rabbeinu would make the kind of mistakes that we would make. or that these people around the world would make, as we discussed in the last couple of weeks, and so back. His mistake was on the sophisticated of the sophisticated, and we're going to explain it. And just bear that in mind as we talk. So when he talks about that Moshe Rabbeinu overstepping the mark, you can imagine it was a fraction of a millimeter. For us, God wouldn't take very much exception. He would be very satisfied if all we overstepped was a fraction of a millimeter, even if we only overstepped 10 meters. Even if we only overstepped a kilometer or two, he would be satisfied. He gets upset because we go a lot further than that. But for Moshe Rabbeinu, it was 1 millimeter over that golden mean, towards anger. When he said, listen here, you rebellious ones, Diktek olav Hashem yizborov shiyeh odom kamoyu koyes livnei adas Yisrael b'mokom she'en ro'i boi hakas. God took exception because a man such as he, or took exception to a man such as he, getting angry in front of the community in a situation which was not deserving of his anger. That's what God got angry with. Let's have it again. That a man such as he got angry in front of the community on an issue which was not worthy of his anger. Okay, so there are again a few things here. It was a man such as Moshe, number one, got angry, number two. Number three, in front of people. Number four, over an issue which wasn't worthy of his anger. And such a thing in such a man is a chilul Hashem. For a man like Moshe Rabbeinu to get angry, that's a chilul Hashem. Because everybody watches Moshe Rabbeinu like a hawk, and they learn from every little thing that he does. They learn. And they trusted that by watching Moshe Rabbeinu meticulously and following his guidelines, they would be successful in this world and in the world to come. Again, back to our share of 2-3 weeks ago. What they needed, their whole understanding of Torah, as would be ours, of living correctly, is through emulating the picture of a Torah Jew, which to them was Moshe Rabbeinu. So everything he did and everything he said, they watched meticulously in order to follow. And how can anger appear in a man like Moshe? One of the bad things, as we've discussed, is the Rambam. And it stems from bad qualities in the soul. It's not a good thing, anger. So that's the first thing the Rambam says. For Moshe Rabbeinu to get angry, when they're watching him so meticulously and emulating him, that's a chilul Hashem for Moshe Rabbeinu to do. Aval omru b'inyan meris en pi. It asks the Rambam, so where did they disobey God? Later on it says, because you disobeyed me. Where did he disobey them? Okay. So he got angry. Shouldn't have got angry. But where did he disobey God? Hu k'moshe of avoy. Says the Rambam, that I shall now explain. The first thing to understand is Moshe wasn't talking to idiots. Moshe was talking to intelligent people. Not to people that didn't have qualities. He was talking to Anshei Malo. He was talking to a very, very great community. He was talking to a community. We have no idea how great these Bnei Yisrael were. The smallest among their women, folk. The most insignificant of their women, Hoysoki Yechezkel ben Buzi, was greater or as great as Yechezkel. That's the generation of the Dor HaMidbar. Right? The most insignificant of the women was greater than Ezekiel, than Yechezkel. Kemoshe Zachru Chachomim, as Chazal mentioned. V'chol ma shiyoy maroyase yivchanuhu. And everything that Moshe does or says, these people of such unbelievable intellect, that the most insignificant of their women folk was greater than Yechezkel. And he's being eyed by 600,000 such people. Not by 600,000, but by 1.2 million. Right? Because the women folk as well, you can see who they are. The most insignificant of the women is greater than Yechezkel. So that 600,000 men plus their wives, that's at least 1.2 million. He's got a community who watch his every step. And are ready to criticize him at any turn. They're ready to pull him apart. And when they saw that he got angry, Omru, they said, they concluded, Vadai enolov b'chisus mida. Certainly Moshe can't be getting angry. It's not possible. Anger is such a negative characteristic that it's not possible that Moshe is really angry. It can only be that Moshe knows that God got angry with us when we asked for water, and that we made God angry. If it weren't that Moshe knew that God got angry because of our request, Moshe wouldn't have gotten angry. He's not angry because he's reacting to it himself. He can only be angry because God got angry, and he's trying to transmit God's anger to us. V'anu, says the Rambam, lo imatzinu shashem yizborach klas b'dab ro'elov b'zeo inyan. And if you look in the Chumash, you don't see that God got angry at all. Aval omar kaches amate v'akeles ahedo. On the contrary, God just said, take your stick and get the people together and go to the rock and talk to it, and out will come water. That's the Rambam. So what does he say? He asks the question, what was Moshe's avera? What did Moshe do wrong? So he answers, Moshe got angry. He tended a little bit towards anger. And that little bit in a man like Moshe was serious, because the people watch him so meticulously and emulate him. And it was a chilul Hashem. Then he goes on to another thing. He says, but after all, the Pasuk says also that he disobeyed God. Where do we find him disobeying God? So he says, because people concluded that Moshe would only get angry if God was angry. And in fact, God wasn't angry. What that's got to do with it on the surface doesn't make any sense. How does that answer the question? Where do we see a disobeying of God? And there are other difficulties. Let's look at it carefully. Firstly, have you noted what kind of anger is the Rambam talking about here with Moshe? Reactive anger or active anger? Anybody got a proof for which one he's talking about? The active anger. You say active anger, Toby? No, but the first part.
It's not a major anger.
You're all wrong. This is active anger. How do we know? Because what is his criticism against Moshe? That he overstepped the golden mean. What are you doing anywhere near the golden mean if it's reactive anger? You shouldn't be anywhere near the golden mean altogether. It's not that you tended towards one of the extremes. Then he should have been criticized for just getting angry in the first place. So that's our first thing to note, that the Rambam is talking about an anger which is active anger. The anger he refers to in his first chapter, the kosher anger. Okay, that's number one. But no, there's kosher anger and unkosher anger too, and angular mahadrim and adasya anger and regular anger. It's all many, many different standards of anger. Now, accepting that it's that kind of anger, the kosher anger, then it's difficult, because later on, what did he say? That it wasn't something over which he should have got angry. Well, if it wasn't something over which he should have got angry, right, those were the words of the Rambam, with one of the gods got angry, it was b'makum she'ein ro'i boi hakas. It was a situation which didn't require anger. If it's a situation which didn't require anger, then we're talking about the treif anger. We're not talking about the kosher anger. If we're talking about the treif anger, why does he criticize Moshe for overstepping the golden mean? He should criticize him for being anywhere near the golden mean. That's the first question. Second question. Look at the four conditions. So God gets angry with him because a man like him got angry in public over something which didn't really deserve that anger. And if it wouldn't have been in public, then what? Mashmah implies that God wouldn't have got angry. And if it wouldn't have been a man like Moshe, God wouldn't have got angry. But it's something over which you're not supposed to get angry, he says. It's a davar she'en ro'i bo hakas. It's not worthy of anger. So nobody should get angry, not even in private. Why does he say that God got angry? Because a man like Moshe did it in public over something that he shouldn't have really gotten angry over in the first place. These are the difficulties. Very difficult to make head or tail of the Rambam. And I'm going to give you a way now in understanding the Rambam. What did Moshe do wrong? We need to look at the second part of the Rambam. Later on in the Parashat, God tells Moshe, Yan Hashem merise mespi, because you disobeyed me. Ask the Rambam, where do we find Moshe disobeyed God? That nowhere is that, are we told that he disobeyed God. So the Rambam goes into this whole explanation that that he's watched like hawks, and people saw him getting angry. They figured Moshe can't be getting angry because nobody gets angry. Therefore, it must be God who got angry. He's getting angry to transmit God's anger to us, and we really don't find that God did get angry altogether. That's what the Rambam says. Let's look at it in the following way. Moshe was entitled to get angry. If he wasn't entitled to get angry, then it would be the trefa kind of anger, and he wouldn't be allowed to be anywhere near the golden mean. So let's start off, he's entitled to get angry. What then was the terrible avera? That he did it in public, and a man like Moshe, and the difficulty in the Rambam, the Rambam himself says he shouldn't have got angry over it. What did the Ribbono Shel Olam really want? Says the Rambam, the Lo Matzinu, at the very end he says, V'anu Lo Matzinu Shehashem Yizborach Kos B'dabro Elov B'ze Ha'inyan. We didn't find that God got angry at all. So what is the Rambam saying? The disobedience was the following. The people concluded incorrectly that God was angry. They drew a conclusion that God must be angry, otherwise why is Moshe getting angry? He can't be reactively angry because it's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't get angry. So this is educational anger. He's getting angry for a purpose, because what we did was wrong. We shouldn't have asked for water, or the way we asked for water. And how does he know it's wrong? God must have got angry, and God must have told him, I'm angry with these people. So Moshe transmitted God's anger to us. Says the Rambam, but in fact God wasn't angry, and that was the disobedience. What was the disobedience? The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to teach Klal Yisrael that on this issue you're not entitled to get angry. That was the message he wanted to teach them. They started complaining. They were without water for a little while. They started complaining, we would rather have died in the desert. Why did you bring us here? Why did you take us out of Egypt? Start becoming, the complaints are miserable. One would think that Moshe Rabbeinu is entitled to get angry, or that God's entitled to get angry after what the Ribbono Shel Olam has done for these people. The miraculous way in which he took them out of Egypt. One makkah after another, one smiting of the Egyptians after another, until there are 10 of them, makkahs b'chayrus in the end. And then he brings them out, and then there's the splitting of the Red Sea. And not only does every Jew come out alive, but every Egyptian is killed. And not only is every Egyptian killed, but all their spoil is washed up on the seaside. And they pick it up and they go away, wealthy, wealthy people. And then they need bread, so the mon comes. They need water, so there's the well. They need slav, they need meat, there's the quail. And so they go and they never have to change their clothes, living a miraculous existence, day in and day out. What the Ribbono Shel Olam has only done for them. And he gets a kick in the pants. So the water's turned off for a while, and they're already complaining, why did you take us out of Egypt? We should have been left in Egypt. Says God to Moshe, let's teach them now that it's not right for me to get angry over that. The way they've asked for water, maybe it's not the correct way for them to behave, but that's not roi lichoy salov. That doesn't justify my getting angry. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, although last time when you needed water, I told you to use your stick, this time don't. Collect them all together in front of the rock and walk over nice and slowly and coolly and calmly and stand there and speak to the rock and out will come water, all nice and calm. Don't get angry. That's really the message that God wants to convey to them. The greatest Kiddush Hashem that could have resulted from the whole thing is that at the end of it, when they've drank a little bit and they look back at the way they've behaved and they say, and my goodness, God didn't even get angry. What a Ribbono Shel Olam. And they would have learned from that that over such issues you don't get angry. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted more than anything, that they should learn that lesson, that this is not something worthy of anger. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He got angry. A little bit angry, a touch of anger he got. So the Bnei Yisrael translated, they explained the whole thing incorrectly. Moshe's angry? Can't be that Moshe got angry, no. So Moshe is transmitting God's anger. That means that we were wrong. God got angry with us. So the whole lesson of the episode is lost. What they really needed to learn, they can no longer learn. That this is something over which God doesn't get angry. That they can no longer learn because they think erroneously that the Ribbono Shel Olam got angry with it. That's the Meris Senpi. I told you to do it with calmly and coolly, and you did it with a touch of anger, and that was disobedience. The atmosphere was spoiled. You were disobedient in that the atmosphere which I wanted to create around that rock, you spoiled because you got angry. Now, was Moshe entitled to get angry? Moshe was entitled to get angry. He was getting angry not because they offended him. He was getting angry because they offended God. That's okay. He could have got angry. If it weren't that he was Moshe and doing it in public, if he was a private man getting angry, this is something over which you're entitled to get angry. People show no gratitude. People show no loyalty. After months and months of God doing miracles for them, and they're benefiting from God day in and day out, they come and they give him a kick in the pants. That you get angry about. One snag. It's alright for Moshe to get angry about it, but not for God to get angry about it. If you follow. The one who got the kick in the pants can't get angry, because that's reactive anger. Somebody standing outside can get angry, because that's not reactive anger. I can get angry at the way you've treated so-and-so, but it's not for so-and-so to get angry. If Moshe Rabbeinu was a private citizen, he could have got angry and he would have been entitled to. But since they saw him as they did, and they studied him and they couldn't believe that he was getting angry reactively, so therefore the act of anger must be because God was angry, that makes it no good. He spoiled the lesson. So it's one of these peculiar situations where for anybody else it would have been okay to get angry, but not for Moshe Rabbeinu. And perhaps the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu got that little bit of anger, that tiny millimeter of tendency towards anger, was because of his own modesty. It's possible that he didn't realize fully the extent to which they watched him and learnt everything that he did. That he didn't realize, because of his modesty, the extent to which they would never ascribe the anger to him, but would learn the conclusion from there that it was in fact God getting angry and Moshe merely transmitting the anger. He didn't realize how they looked up to him, fully the extent to which they looked up to him. And so he thought he could permit himself the luxury of a slight, slight tendency towards anger. And he couldn't. That luxury spoiled the whole thing. Spoiled the whole opportunity for Bnei Yisrael to learn that even when you're kicked in the pants, you don't get angry. Why not? Why is it wrong to get angry? It's not just as I've said it, that if you kick in the pants, you don't have to get angry. If it's a dover gadol, if it's something that's over a major issue, such as they were, having been brought out from Eretz Mitzrayim, and who are they kicking in the pants? God! Ribbono Shel Olam. That's a big issue. L'chayra, on the surface, the Ribbono Shel Olam would be entitled to get angry with them. Why not? Why does the Ribbono Shel Olam want to teach that over this you don't get angry? Why are they getting angry? They're not getting angry because they don't like God. They're not getting angry because they've lost their loyalty. They're getting angry because they're thirsty. That's all. They're plain and simply lacking water. Miriam died. There was no water. And they came on Moshe and Aaron. And they said, if only we would have died the way our brothers have died. Says Rashi, you learn that the thirst is one of the worst forms of death, to die of thirst, not of hunger, not of malnutrition, of thirst. They've got food, they just don't have water. That to suffer a death of thirst is one of the most suffering things that there can be. It's one of the worst deaths that they used to suffer. So imagine how distraught they were. You know what it's like when you get like that. People get nervy and edgy after a little while without water. And that's when you know there is water available, just that you don't have it. You're going to get there and there is water. But they're in the desert. There's no water, nothing. And they don't know whether they're going to find water again. And their children that need water, and their animals that need water, and they need water. Wives, pregnant wives, sick people, and there's no water. Says the Ribbono Shel Olam, even though they kick me in the pants under that circumstance, I don't get angry. Because they're thirsty. One needs to understand the circumstances that brought to the action. And where the circumstances are understandable and one can accept it, and they're external, not internal. They're not angry at me because they feel like being angry. They're angry for an external little reason. The moment they have water, they'll be nice people again. It's not that they're inherently bad. It's not that they've inherently done anything wrong. They're just angry because they're thirsty. Give them water, they'll be alright. Ribbono Shel Olam is teaching the Geder, he's teaching the definition of the principle which the Rambam lays down in the beginning of Hilchos Deos, that there are two kinds of anger. And to get angry at a man who's irritated because he's thirsty, and he does something wrong in his state of irritation, and now I'm going to get angry at him, that's reactive anger. That's not thought out anger. That's not reasoned and rational anger. That's irrational anger. Nebuch, the man needs some water. Give him some water. That's all. Then shout at it. That the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to teach. Moshe did get angry, because he was the third person watching the way they're treating the Ribbono Shel Olam. No matter what circumstances bring to that, he gets angry. God takes exception. By your getting angry, you've led them to believe that I was angry, and the very thing I wanted to teach them is that I'm not angry. That's what I wanted to teach them. And now the Rambam goes very, very simply. Oh, the Ramban goes on to the whole thing. What according to this view, what Aaron did wrong, which we won't get into now. I might get into it next week. Now for everybody else, the Rambam defines in the beginning, what did he do wrong? He tended just that little millimeter towards anger. Which kind of anger? The kosher anger. For Moshe it was kosher. Accepting that for God it wasn't good, it wasn't kosher anger. And for Moshe Rabbeinu himself, being Moshe and in public, it wasn't fitting. Because of the conclusion they would draw, which was that God himself was angry, and that's the Yan Lohem Mantim, that's the Yan Merisem SP, the fact that you disobeyed me. You created an atmosphere of anger whereas I wanted to create an atmosphere of calmness and of Yishuv Hadas. What the Rambam doesn't explain is the notion of Yan Lohem Mantim Bi, you didn't believe in me. God criticizes him and says, "Yan Lohem Mantim Bi Lahakdisheni." You didn't believe in me to sanctify my name. So that you didn't sanctify my name, we now understand. It would have been a big Kiddush Hashem for the people to realize that although they'd behaved so badly, God didn't get angry. It would have been a big Kiddush Hashem, and that Kiddush Hashem is lost. But where do we see the lack of Emunah? Where do we see that God, that Moshe, so to say, didn't trust in the Ribbono Shel Olam, didn't believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam? Probably, I think, I haven't seen this anywhere, and but I think it's correct. When Moshe turned to God and said, "What do we do now? There's no water." Everybody's screaming and shouting. And God very calmly said, "Okay, get the people to rear at the rock and take your stick and walk over and speak nicely to the rock and water will come out." Moshe, so to say, felt as if God was hiding his anger. Moshe, so to say, felt surely God is angry over the way they're speaking and is hiding his anger. So I'll get angry with them to show them that it's something that one needs to get angry about. You didn't believe in me, Moshe Rabbeinu, that I really wasn't angry. They're thirsty, my children. Leave them alone. There's nothing to get angry about. They swore at me, they shouted at me, they screamed at me, but they're thirsty, Nebuch. That's the problem. They need water. And you didn't believe me that I wasn't really angry. You thought I was angry and I was only trying to hide it out of kindness. No, I wasn't angry. And therefore your action was incorrect. You, thinking that I really was angry, decided you would show the anger so that they should know. That's exactly what I didn't want. I wanted you to show the same calmness so that they should know this is not something one gets angry about. That's what's important. So the yesod here, what comes out, the foundation that comes out, firstly is an explanation to the parsha, what Moshe Rabbeinu did on his level that wasn't altogether right and why he did it. And the fact that even though the Bnei Yisrael treated the Ribbono Shel Olam the way they did in this parsha, that's not when the Rambam paskins that you're allowed to get angry over a dovar godol sheroi lichay salov. That's not it yet. It's got to be bigger than that. It's got to be more serious than that. Comes the question over what may you get angry. That's the next question which we've got to deal with, and we're not going to deal with it tonight. Now we know what you're not allowed to get angry about. Even such a situation where God has worked for these people and been treated them with miracle after miracle, and given them everything that they've got and taken them out of a miserable existence into an existence of freedom and elevation, and they turn around and say, "Yeah, you should have left us where we were rather." That complete lack of Akoras Hatov, but since it was stimulated by thirst rather than by real degeneracy, that mustn't make you angry. So what we need to do now is define, when the Rambam says that you can get angry over major issues, when is that? When can you get angry? And the next thing we need to define is, how do you control it? How do you avoid getting angry about irritating things? How do you teach yourself, as the Rambam says, you've got to be melamed esatzmi, you've got to teach yourself not to get angry. How do you do that? That also we've got to do. So I'm going to devote at least another shiur to it. That's why I said I might do the Rambam, or part of the Rambam, next week. At least another shiur on developing the idea of what kaas is, what anger is, why Chazal view it so seriously, and why they see it as something so destructive. To define a little bit more clearly these two types of chaos, we know now that you can't get angry over anything which is done, no matter how great severe it is, if its cause is an insignificant cause. If you can remove the cause and the symptom will go, so remove the cause, then get angry. Just remove the cause, that's all. If somebody is thirsty, and because he's thirsty he's behaving like an animal, give him water, don't get angry. If somebody's got a pain in his stomach, and because he's got a pain in his stomach he's nasty to his wife and the marriage is about to crack up, then have to go to a marriage counselor, go to a doctor for a tablet for his stomach. That's what you've got to do. You don't have to get angry because he's irritated, he's got a pain, that's all it is. When a person behaves badly because of an external irritation, get rid of the irritation, don't get angry. That we've learnt. But when may you get angry? Under what circumstances may you get angry? And how do you get angry? And what's the purpose of getting angry? That in Mitzvah Hashem we'll discuss next week.